We are talking our data lake today is about 4 petabytes. And that's a lot of the data. And data reliability engineering assists teams with maintenance, validation, corrections, and optimize both existing and new proxies. This ensure you don't duplicate pipelines and help with the already existing pipelines too.
You're listening to the Data Flowcast, the podcast about Apache Airflow and the world of data and AI around it. Let's get into it.
All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Data Flowcast. I'm your host, Marco Merti. And today I'm super excited because I'm joined by Mateus Ferreira, Senior Data Engineer at Luisa Labs. First thing first, how you're doing, Mateus?
I'm fine, and you? I'm very glad to be here today. That's a nice opportunity to explain something about what we are doing here.
Likewise, very happy to have you in this podcast. So let's dive in. For today's podcast, we are going to talk about how Luisa Labs orchestrates 2,000 Airflow pipelines for one of the biggest, largest retailer in Brazil, and why they are migrating off Managed Composer to run Airflow on their own on-premise Kubernetes cloud. So there is a ton of things to discuss today, but I think the very first question that many people wonder is, can you introduce yourself and tell us more about what you do at Luisa Labs?
Okay, nice. I'm Mateus. Like I said, I'm 28 years old. I'm from Brazil. I'm currently based in São Paulo. I work as a data engineer here at Luisa Labs. I do a lot of things here as a data engineer, but my main things are improving pipelines, cost reduction, developing DAGs, maintaining data platform as a whole, like governance, security, performance, and more.
Okay, so a lot of the usual things that data engineers do. I think a lot of people will reflect in what you said. And can you tell us more about like Luisa Labs? Like what this company typically does?
Okay, Luisa Labs is the arm of technology from Magazine Luiza or Magalu. This is one of the largest retail companies here in Brazil. That's a very old company here. It's one of the largest companies here because we sell a lot of things, smartphones, toys, what do you imagine you can buy inside Magalu?
Okay, it's
And
like Amazon. Is it like Amazon?
yeah, it's like Amazon.
Okay.
And we focus here in digital and physical.
Okay.
We are Magalu has more than 1,000 physical stores here in Brazil.
Okay.
And Brazil is giant. It's a continental country with different regions here. That is, then the way of work is different inside different regions. And Magalu is spread in all of our country, and that's amazing to
Okay.
work with a lot of data from different places with different destinations with different rules with different needs, and that's amazing to work with that amount of data here.
Okay. And so what kind of data challenges come with running Magalu? Like what typical challenges do you have?
The most typical challenge is to deal with different business areas like
Okay.
logistics, financial. Sometimes you need to apply some governance rules. Sometimes you need to say, oh, okay, that is using a lot of data, or sometimes, and now we are Magalu built an amazing thing called, in Portuguese, Cérebro da Lu. But in
Okay.
English, we can say that's Lu Brain. Lu is a character from Magalu. It's a woman. That's a nice character. If you search in the web for Lu from Magalu, you
Okay.
will see the how biggest is the character. And
Okay.
it's the face of Magalu. And now we are building the loose brain, and it's a real challenge because nowadays we need to talk about AI and how to use it. And Magalu is using AI to sell things, like from using WhatsApp, and that is a new challenge. No one did this. And this is we build that platform to say, okay, you need a desk. We have a desk for you. And understand the needs from the consumer. That's very interesting. And the main challenge for Magalu, looking by my eyes, looking as a data engineer, is to organize the house, to say, okay, this is from that business, they use that, and that is the main challenge.
I know that this question was not in the preparation call that we had, but just very quickly, do you use AI in your data engine, like in your pipelines today? Or are you thinking of using AI at some point in your pipelines? Just to
We are using both to develop,
to develop pipeline.
And we are building some steps from our platform, like the data catalog, and that's very important for us because imagine we have 2,000 pipelines where data come from, where data are going to, and now we are studying to use AI to integrate with some MCPs and say, hey, your Spark is using a lot of memory, but your executor is very, very, very larger than you need. You can reduce your executor, for example, and look more to execution and we will talk more about this later, but data reliability engineering is building a channel inside our chat, and the AI is summarizing the error from Airflow, for example. Okay, you got a out-of-memory error from Spark, and the AI say, oh, I'm 19% sure that the problem is that, and your
That's cool.
correction is that inside your chat. And you can see the problem, the chat, and say, okay, now I know how to fix that problem, or say, okay, that's stable, the pipeline is running, sometimes that got an error, or what do you need to do here? Then
Okay.
that's our challenge with 2,000 pipelines, that's a good solution.
That's interesting that you are talking about this way of using AI, because actually at Astronomer we have what we call Astro Observe that allows you to observe your pipelines and having like data lineage and so on. And we actually have a root cause analysis feature where we use AI to actually know what happened in your pipelines and what might be the cause. Well, I mean that's really interesting. I think like many people are obviously using AI today for developing DAGs, but I expect that more and more people will also have workflows that use AI. So you mentioned that you are orchestrating around 2,000 pipelines today. I have to ask you, like, how did Airflow become the heart of your data platform? Like, why did you, maybe why did you decide to use Airflow at your company?
Okay, nice. I'm Matheus, as an engineer, I already worked with a lot of orchestrators, like Control M, Azure, AWS, AWS Step Functions, Azure Data Factory. But what shined my eyes was Airflow. And when I came to Magalu, they are using Airflow, and I say, okay, that's fine. But how that become the heart of our orchestration? We started using GCP, and the focus on that was to use BigQuery and storage. Okay, BigQuery storage, that's fine, but how we will run our pipelines? We can use other services inside GCP, but with our demand of 2,000 pipelines, that will be a larger cost. And to organize the data process and centralize everything into a single scheduler, we began using Cloud Composer. And Cloud Composer is their managed Airflow. And the time went to go, and DAGs become standard practice here. And largely because the business units need data from various sources and applies a lot of transformations. And this make Airflow the center of data ingestion and the other from our operations. The squad look to Airflow and say, okay, the desk is green, my data is fine, but that's a way to see. I know the we need more control than this because we need to see that if DAG runs and the data is correct. Just part steps. And that is the way the Airflow become a heart of our orchestration. And today, the data platform team manages and maintains that health and ensure that available to critical data processing to our business areas.
Okay, and just out of curiosity, when you started to use Airflow for the first time, did you find it hard to get started with, or did you find it okay, easy? Like, just out of curiosity, like, for beginners, for people that maybe want to use Airflow at some point.
When I started to use Airflow, I got a big gap between Control-M and Airflow because when I was working with Control-M, I worked for a bank and it's very, very, very bureaucratic. That's a team that creates the pipeline dependencies. That's this type of bureaucracy. And when I started using Airflow, I see the configurations needed and the concepts about operators. I say, oh, operators, it's a new thing. And I see, oh, I have more operators than the basic operator. I have custom operators. I can create my own operator. And that's incredible because when I started as data engineer, I worked with Hadoop and I created a Spark session with a real difficulty because that's not easy to create a simple thing inside on-premise platform. And when I started Airflow, I was working using GCP. I started with Composer and I say, okay, I need to implement my workflow here. And they are using just BigQuery scheduled tables, and that's terrible for dependencies or to see, okay, my table is updated, and that's terrible. And I say to my manager, oh, hey, can we use Composer? And that's my first time using Composer. Say, okay, you can try. I started using Composer and Airflow. I and exploring the Airflow properties and developing with operators. I'll say, okay, I will create just a simple thing like a hello world script using Python operator, and that worked. I said, oh, that's incredible. And after that, I started working with other operators and creating Spark jobs and using a lot of things and integrating with some GCP things like Cloud Storage and BigQuery.
So you would say that it was okay, right? I mean, it wasn't that
Yeah,
hard to run.
no, no, that's not hard because with my experience when I started, I just worked with on-premise things and Hadoop. I never had the experience with Airflow, and they create an entire pipeline dependencies with Airflow. That's a
Fantastic.
very way to start.
This episode is brought to you by Astronomer, the team behind Astro, a managed airflow platform built for data engineering teams. From batch pipelines to training models and wiring up agents, Astro handles the infrastructure, upgrades, and scaling so you can focus on building. Check it out at astronomer.io.
That's great. That's great. So actually, like, you know, speaking about how you can, like, how hard it was to start with Airflow, maybe for us as data engineers, it's pretty easy. But what about non-engineers, right? And I think you told me that you built a YAML wrapper around Airflow so that, you know, actually, like, non-engineers can ship DAGs. Can you tell me more about that? Like, how does it work? And, you know, just like in general, if you can tell me more about the solution, because I think many actually companies use like YAML for generating DAGs in Airflow, but I would be curious to know about your implementation.
Oh, okay, nice. And that's very important. Like I said, our main challenge is to attend all our business units here. And that's a real challenge. Okay, let's go. Our wrapper is a solution designed to simplify the extract and load process. System business users mostly need to collect data from database and land it somewhere from analysis. In our case, data lake and BigQuery. Okay. These two bridge that gap. It allows them to join database information with various other sources for using dashboards like data science models and decision making. The tool works reading a YAML file containing like namespace, tables, and the other details like executor size and driver size and a lot of things from Spark like options with call and from there it identifies the collection type like CDC, GDBC foo. It's an override pipeline and GDBC incremental. The tool manages the data read stage using checkpoints. If needed, users can define column transformations and specify whether the data should live only in the lake or lake and BigQuery. And to keep it safe, we have a well documented list of parameters defining what users can and cannot do. Furthermore, every new implementation or modification goes through the data reliability engineering and they approve and implement that modifications. And that's a very good case for us because we with that wrapper, we have more control over the pipelines.
Yeah, I mean, so I guess like, actually, when you say more control over the pipelines, can you tell me more about that? Like, what do you control exactly? Like, do you control what operators?
It's more.
What? Yeah.
It's a different thing. It's more most valuable thing nowadays with AI. It's about metadata. Because with metadata from our pipelines, like that's came from that origin and that saves in that part of lake because we are using something like meta architecture here on our data lake. And we can say, hey, the data is coming from that MySQL database and is storing inside your trusted layer or your gold layer or silver layer. And we can map where our data is being saved.
Oh, that's cool. I guess like you know, like I think like at some point you talked about your data reliability engineers. Because obviously like self-servicing Airflow in the way that you do requires data reliability engineering team. So can you tell us more about this team, like how do they make sure that things do not turn on into a swamp?
Oh, they are our window to the company.
Okay.
We can say that because every problem that business unit has For example, oh, my dog is with a problem. I don't know what is that problem. Because not all teams from has a data engineer. They build the process using our wrapper and say, okay, that's working, and use the data inside BigQuery. But to maintain that pipeline, we help them and say, oh, we got a problem. How we can help you? And we start to analyze the pipelines. We look to the data, look mainly to Airflow to see, okay, Airflow is correct, or Airflow got an error, or the error is on our pipelines, or everything that involves the pipeline. But the focus to control our data is to focus on solutions that ensure on extraction to any given source. This is the most important thing, because we are talking our data lake today is about 4 petabytes, and that's a lot of the data. And data ability engineering assists teams with maintenance, validation, corrections, and optimize both existing and new processes. This ensure we don't duplicate pipelines and help with the already existing pipelines
That must be a lot of work for them,
too.
definitely.
Yeah, a lot of work. It's about 10. I'm search for words.
10 people?
Yeah, 10 people every day to help.
Well, try with everybody.
Yeah,
Okay.
everybody.
Right.
It's a real challenge.
Yeah, I imagine. I imagine. Also, like, just to come back to what you said at the very beginning of the episode, you mentioned about, actually not very at the not at the very beginning, because you also told us that when you started using Airflow. Can you tell us more about the custom operators? I think like you are using some custom operators today. And custom operators are very popular among the Airflow users. So I'm curious, like, how do you use custom operators? And before, how you use them, why did you have to create them in the first place? Like, why did you
Okay,
create
no,
those custom operators?
that's a very good question, and we moved away from data proc operator mainly because it's very expensive, and our strategy is to shift to Magalu Cloud. We will talk about this later, but Magalu Cloud is a public cloud from Magazine Luiza, from Magalu, and we decided to focus on Kubernetes for process because our custom operator does more than just enable Spark session. It gives her greater control over Spark, job creation, session parameter assignment, and the creation of specific Kubernetes resource needed to execution. And we do all of this with the operator and creating the manifest. That's a very we have a lot of control when we are creating a pipeline. For example, when we are creating a pipeline using Airflow, we can say custom operator, you use a small, medium, or large driver from Spark. We can use a small executor, large, very ultra mega blaster, large executor. And say, oh, we can use that number of partitions and other values that we can pass through the operator, and that will have replicated inside the manifest that it starts the Spark session. And that helps a lot us to create a like the YAML wrapper to create a pattern to all our 2000 pipelines.
Yeah, it is. Hey, it is. Okay, yeah, I mean that makes a lot of sense. Actually, I heard a couple of times people using custom operators to better control how resources are used and so on, especially on Kubernetes. I think like just like to for the last question, I think like you built a monitoring dashboard on top of Airflow. And so I'm curious because we always focus about, I mean we always focus on data pipelines and so on, but we tend to forget that there is also like observability that is important. And so can you tell us more about the dashboard that you built on top of Airflow? Like what does it track and like what teams typically look at on this dashboard and why did you build it?
Okay, and are you taking one step back just to explain a thing? When we are moving from GCP to MDC, MDC is the Magalu Cloud, we are looking to more control over our pipelines. Imagine to migrate a lot of pipelines to different cloud. We need to orchestrate that pipelines to see what is production and what is testing, and we start using Airflow tags. Airflow tags are a magic thing because it's because when we start our monitoring process, when I build, I start to query our Airflow database and what informations we can take from there. That's beautiful inside that database because today we are monitoring DAG executions through the day. We have a timeline and you can see, okay, 2 a.m. we have 3 pipelines running, 10 a.m. we have 10 pipelines running, and how I can take that information. I'm selecting from the Airflow database the scheduling times that from all our pipelines, and I'm creating a view inside your monitoring tool, and that worked very well. And we can when we are building a new pipeline, for example, we can look to that information and say, okay, at 10 a.m. that has a lot of pipelines. I will place that 3 p.m. That's better. That's
Oh, okay,
create
I see.
that type of decision, and that's not usual, but very important. And another thing that is very important is the error rates. We can, like I said, we are using tags to see production things and test things. Or you can create every tag you want, but we are using that tags to separate inside the dashboard all the running tags, all the error tags. That's very important. And the one of the most important for me, it's the classification of the tags. How w that works? I'm collecting the last 5 executions from DAG, and I'm classifying that way. If the last 5 executions are green or correct, I classify that DAG as success. If that one error or one instability, for example, it's partially correct. And if that has more than one error and less than five, that is intermittent. That DAG has a problem. You don't know, but has a problem. And if all the 5 last executions has a problem, okay, that's a total failure. Your DAG is with a big problem. And we apply that rule inside over all our DAGs. Every execution from DAG creates that vision. And crucially, it also tracks if DAG is running with a normal duration based on median of research executions. I believe every team should look closely to the DAG execution history and the health data provided by Airflow metadata. And it's a potential to improve your DAGs. Just saying, apply some small change like for example, in Spark, changing a partitioning, or if that is with wrong executor type, and that's a very important.
So I think, like, I mean, this is super interesting. Especially like the, I mean, you know, when you mentioned that you have this view where you know exactly for every hour how many DAGs are running, I think this is a great one because, like, people tend to forget that if you have all of your pipelines running at the same time, it's actually very easy to end up with, especially when you are managing like thousands of pipelines. It's very easy to have like most of your pipelines running at the same time, and you are putting a lot of pressure on your you know, Airflow scheduler and so on, and that can ultimately put some lag on your pipelines, on your workflows. So that's actually a very nice way to, okay, observe that and then make sure that your pipelines are spread in a way that they don't run all at the same time. Thank you so much for sharing all of those insights, Mateus. I wonder, like, you know, as a very last question to you, if people want to, I mean, if people want to contact you, what is the best way for them to do it?
I don't have a social media, but you can
Okay.
find me with my LinkedIn. It's
Okay.
my name, Matheus M. Ferreira.
Okay. Perfect. I will make sure that people will be able to find you in the description.
Okay.
Well, Marius, it was a wonderful pleasure to have you in this podcast. Thank you so much again for sharing all of your great insights relating to Airflow and data engineering. And yeah, hope to see you again for another one. Who knows?
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much. Can I say just one sentence in
Sure,
Portuguese?
please do.
Just one sentence that I believe so much. If I can spread that word, a gente nunca sabe quando está vivendo os bons velhos tempos. What that mean in English? We don't know when we are living the good old times. That is a sentence that I like to say when I participate in podcasts.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Marius.
Thank
Have a wonderful day. Take care. See you.
you.
Thank you for listening to the Data Flowcast. Check the show notes for links to everything mentioned today. If you're enjoying the podcast, subscribe so you never miss an episode. And leave us a 5-star review.